is Father's Day. Congratulations, fathers, dads. Our one. It's not good English, but anyway. Somebody said Father's Day is a lot like Mother's Day, except for fathers don't get as many gifts as mamas. I say, what gifts, all right? Anyway, praise the Lord for Father's Day. I did hear about a little girl that said to her dad, she said she was scared at night, and so she went in her dad's room and said, Dad, said, will you come in my room? And the dad said, well, honey, Jesus, you can talk to Jesus anytime. And so she went back in her room the next night, same thing. She went into daddy's room, said, Daddy, will you come in my room? I'm scared. And the daddy said, well, honey, you can pray. And have you tried praying? And she said, okay. And so then the next night, she came in her daddy's room, said, Daddy, said, I'm scared. Will you come in my room? And the daddy said, honey, I told you you can pray. Did you pray to Jesus? She said, yes, I did pray, and Jesus told me to come get you. All right? And so I did hear about a little boy, though, that was terrified of thunderstorms. I mean, he was horrified of the thunderstorms. So early in the morning, he got up and he went and got his dad. He's about 4 years old. He said, Dad, I said, I'm afraid. I'm scared of these thunderstorms. The lightning was flashing and the thunder was roaring. And he said, I'm afraid. And so the dad said, well, he said, I tell you what, Jesus is with you right there in your room. There's no reason to be afraid. And so the next night, the thunderstorm came up again, and the dad said the same thing. He said, Jesus is right there with you in the room. There's no need to be afraid. And so finally, the little boy said, the next night when the thunderstorm came, he said, Dad, I'm afraid. And the dad said, well, son, I told you Jesus is right there with you. And the little boy said, I know it, Daddy, but I want something with skin on, all right? I want you to come to be in my room. I like what Mark Twain said concerning daddies. He said, at the age of 14, he said, honestly, it was obvious my dad was the most ignorant man in all the world. But then he said, it's amazing at the age of 21 how much he learned over that period of time. Isn't it amazing how when you grow and when you're younger, you don't realize the things? But listen to this. I want to preach today on the subject. I've been praying this week for the Lord to give me a message. Father's Day come around ever so often, once a year, and I've never shared this message before, but the Lord birthed on my heart to share a message today entitled, Wanted Faithful Fathers. Wanted Faithful Fathers. Or you could put this to the title, Daddies Who Make a Difference. Daddies Who Make a Difference. Do you know statistics about fathers in the home? This is not a recent statistic. It was just some time ago. But 43% of children live without their fathers in our nation. That's the United States Department of Census. 63% of teen suicides are from fatherless homes. That's from the United States Bureau of Census. 85% of children with behavioral problems come from fatherless homes. That's from the CDC, Centers of Disease Control, believe it or not. 71%, according to the statistics of pregnant teenagers, 71% now of pregnant teenagers lack a father in the home. And then, that's by the United States Department of Health and Human Services. And then, 71% of all high school dropouts come from fatherless homes. The National Principals of Association report, according to that report, 75% of all adolescent patients in chemical abuse centers come from fatherless homes. 85% of all youths in prison come from fatherless homes. That's according to the United States Department of Justice. And daughters of single parents without a father are involved 53% more likely to marry as teenagers. 711% more likely to have children as teenagers, and 164% more likely to have premarital birth, and 92% more likely to get divorced themselves. 85% of youth in prisons grew up in a fatherless home. And it has been said that children where the father is present in the home are more secure, have a better self-identity, have more confidence, and lack signs of depression, are less suicidal, And furthermore, boys that grow up in homes, when they have at least a relationship with their father, according to the statistics, are less aggressive, and girls are less to probably be prone to engage in sex. All I'm saying are these are statistics, what is going on today in our world. And so I want to encourage you, daddies, I want to encourage you, fathers, to those of you to keep up the good work and what God is doing. And there's others of us today that maybe feel like a failure. There's others today that need encouragement. And I'm praying the Lord will just bless you today as we take the wonderful Word of God. And we're going somewhere today, and there are three major needs that every person has in this place this morning. Three major needs. Number one, the first major need is the need that we have from a father. What special needs we have by having a father. Now, you may be here today and you say, but I don't have a father, or I don't have anybody in my life, or I never have had a father. Well, probably God will raise up somebody or has raised up somebody in your family or in your life that can be a father figure. In fact, there's a lot of father figures sitting here this morning. Well, what about it? What fathers, the needs, what needs are represented in having a father? And then secondly, we're going to discuss the second major need, which is this. What needs fathers have? There's some fathers here today, and I dare say that you've got some special needs. Sometimes we're unaware of the special needs that fathers, yea, parents have in this day and time. And we're going to talk about it in a moment. And then finally, when these needs, the last place is the number third major need we're going to discuss this morning as we go into the message. By the way, somebody says, Brother Pastor, sometimes it's hard for me to follow along with you in the message. Well, I just gave you my outline right there. If you write down those three things, I've come to each one of them and discuss each one of them. And that's the reason I do, is so you can follow logically, continuity and unity in the messages each time as the Spirit of God leads. Number three is when the needs are met in our Heavenly Father. Very simple outline. And now if you got your Bibles, turn please to the book of 1 Kings chapter 2. 1 Kings chapter 2. And if you would stand as we read 1 Kings, these first few verses in 1 Kings chapter 2. I've never seen this quite so clearly as I did this week in 1 Kings chapter 2. Here in 1 Kings chapter 2, we're going to read verses 1 through verse 4. I believe God's got a message for you today, daddies. Wanted faithful fathers. Wanted faithful fathers. Dads who make a difference. And I believe there's some daddies here today. I can say from my own personal opinion or own personal self, that is, I want to make a difference while God allows me. In 1 Kings chapter 2, we're going to begin reading in verse 1, verses 1 through verse 4. If you're in 1 Kings chapter 2, would you say amen? In 1 Kings chapter 2, notice, now the days of David drew nigh that he should die. It's appointed unto men once to die, but after this to judgment, all of us are going to die one day unless the Lord comes back again. Now the days of David drew nigh that he should die. And he, underline this next word, he charged Solomon, his son, saying, I go the way of all the earth. Be thou strong, therefore. Notice, I go the way of all the earth. That is, I'm going back to the dust my body is. I go the way of all the earth. Everybody's going to have to face that one day, and I hope you're prepared to meet God. I hope you've got a relationship with Jesus. I hope you pass from death into life and been born of the Spirit of God. Verse 2 again. I go the way of all the earth. Notice what David passes down, this lasting legacy to his son Solomon. What does he tell him? David's fixing to die. Look what he tells him. Be thou strong, therefore, and show thyself a man. Brother, this is a good word for today. Sister, this is a good word for today. Be strong and show yourself a man. I like that. Underline that. Verse number 3. And keep the charge of the Lord thy God. Notice David is pointing his son Solomon to God. And he says, and keep the charge of the Lord thy God to walk in his ways, to keep his statutes and his commandments and his judgments and his testimonies as is written in the law of Moses, that thou mayest prosper, that is, that the blessings of God will come on your life in all that thou doest, and whithersoever thou turnest thyself. Look at verse 4. That the Lord, he's pointing him to the Lord. Brother and sister, that's our responsibility, especially as dads. Point them to the Lord. Grandchildren and daddies. I talked with a granddaddy yesterday, and he said, I need a new start. I hadn't been pointing my grandchildren to Jesus. I hadn't been serving the Lord. Hadn't been going to church. Hadn't been really making a difference. And I said, well, praise God, today is a new day. Look at verse number 4 again. That the Lord may continue his word which he spoke. He spake concerning me. David is telling his son Solomon, saying, if thy children, notice, if thy children take heed to their way to walk before me in truth with all their heart and with all their soul, there shall not fail thee, said he, a man on the throne of Israel. God gave David a covenant, and God is passing that covenant down to his son Solomon. This is the word of God. And may God bless it to our heart. And all God's people said, our Father, I thank you now that, Lord, you're our Heavenly Father. Lord, we praise you for this special day. Father, I come and ask you for a fresh touch from heaven. Thank you for the blood that was drawn from Emmanuel's vein. I praise you, Jesus. Though our sins be scarlet, you said they should be white as snow. And though they be red like crimson, they should be as wool. So I ask you, God, for a fresh cleansing right now. And Father, I confess in my flesh dwells no good thing. Lord, I'm a tinkling cymbal and a sounding brass. But I bless you, Lord, for your word, for your Holy Spirit, for your anointing. And we pray now you'll give us ears to be in tune with what the Spirit says, and our hearts bent and subdued, and Lord, surrendered to your will and your way and your providence in our life. We thank you now and praise you again for every daddy that's here, every parent that's here, and Lord, those parents to be, and Father, every child, every teenager. Oh God, we pray for heaven's help today, that you'll help us to look to you, that you'll help us to trust in you, that God, you'll extend the balm of Gilead, that Father, healing will take place this day. Hurts of the past and abuses of the past and anger and bitterness and all kinds of ways the devil, Father, has come to kill, steal, and destroy. We thank you that you're in the restoring business. We praise you're able to restore the years the locusts have eaten. And God, I must confess I've not done everything right. And I ask you, God, for fresh breath of heaven upon every daddy here today, that God, you'll help us to lift up each other's hands, that God, you'll help us in the name of Jesus to keep running the race and fighting the good fight of faith. And Lord, those that are discouraged and those that are down and those, our God, that are despondent, we pray, God, the wind of heaven will lift up our sails as we, Lord, purpose in our heart to finish faithful and to make a difference. Thank you now again for all that you do. Thank you, Father. You're our Father, and we're your children, and we ask now to wrap your arms around us and lead us and guide us, and God, our Father, fill us up today, and we bless you now. I pray for every daddy again and in person who's here today that's never by faith received your unspeakable gift. May today be the day of salvation. And then those, our Father, that whatever need is represented, we just put it in your hands. I ask you, Lord, to be glorified, and I thank you, you will be, in Jesus' name. And all God's people said, amen. You may be seated. Number one, what needs we have in a father? That is, how important is a father in your life? Let me just go back and fill in some blanks on this particular scriptural account. Namely, David is well up in age. In fact, there are those who suggest David is probably about the age of 70 years old. How do we get that? He ruled in Hebron for 7 years. He ruled, according to the word, 33 years as king of Israel, a total of 40 years. He started as king at the age of 30. 30 plus 40 equals 70. Some believe that David was probably about 70 years old. Others say he may have been a little bit older. The point is, he's up in age. David has been a man of war, yet he's been one of Israel's greatest leaders and would go down in the annals of history as Israel's greatest king. And I know he had his flaws like you do and I do. Can y'all hear me? I said, I know he's had his flaws like you do and I do. Yes, that's right. You have them and I have them too. There's none righteous, no, not one. Oh, yeah. There's not a just man upon all the earth that doeth good and sinneth not. But I'm glad where sin abounded, grace did much more abound. Somebody ought to say amen. That's God's grace. Now here's David, he's up in age. In fact, we read in the first chapter of the book of Kings that David is bedridden. He is in the bed, picture in your mind, he cannot get up evidently. They're putting clothes on him. In fact, he's probably to the place, according to scholars, that he's such bedridden and he's losing temperature, heat, and that they keep piling clothes on him. The next thing you know, he's got to have somebody to help, kind of a nurse situation, a concubine, Abishag. Let's say that name together. Abishag. Say it again. Abishag. This is a Shunammite woman, a young virgin woman. I might add, there was no sexual relationship between David and Abishag because it's clearly written in the Word. Yet she probably functioned as a nurse helping David. Again, get the picture. Here he is. He's been a man of war. He's been a man of bloodshed. He has had fought in many battles. He's weary. He's worn down. He's tired. And he's ready to pass on the baton to his son Solomon. However, there is a problem in the making. What is the problem? It just so happens that David had another son. His name was Adonijah. Let's say that together. Adonijah. Say it again. Adonijah. Adonijah was not birthed from the mother Bathsheba as Solomon was. Rather, his mother was Haggith. Is her name. Therefore, Solomon and Adonijah are half-brothers. All right, they got the same daddy, but different mamas. Adonijah had decided he's going to be king. In fact, he went as far as getting Joab, who was David's right-hand military man, and he got Abiathar, who is the priest, on his side. You see, Adonijah had already thrown a big party. He had already announced to Israel he was going to be the next king. Remember, now we're talking about what needs fathers we have in fathers. And as Adonijah threw this party, Bathsheba got wind of what was going on. She said, "This cannot be." Therefore, she went and approached her husband David and said, "David, do you know what's going on?" I'm paraphrasing. She said, "Adonijah claims to be the next king of Israel. What do you say, David?" And David called his son, nameless Solomon, who was younger, by the way, younger than Adonijah. And he called his son Solomon. How old was Solomon at the time? Interesting to note, Josephus the historian says that Solomon was probably 14 years old at the time. Do you hear me? 14 years old at the time when David is ready to hand down the baton, pass down the lasting legacy. Others say he may have been 12. Others say he may have been close to 20. The point is, he's a young man / teenager. And yet, he's got this responsibility to lead the nation of Israel. Get the picture. David calls him to his bedside, and David says, "You will be king." Now, meanwhile, Solomon goes and gets one of David's mighty men listed in 2 Samuel chapter 24. What was his name? Benaiah. Say that with me. Benaiah. Say it again. Benaiah. This was one of David's mighty men. And Solomon has Benaiah as well as Nathan the prophet. And David says, "Put him on my mule and march him through the streets and let everybody know that Solomon is the next king." Therein is the setting of 1 Kings chapter number 2. Now as we go through this, the Lord put on my heart three specific needs that we have as children when it comes to having a father. What are they? Number one, affirmation. Here's the outline, those of you that want to take it. Number one, affirmation. Number two, communication. And number three, preparation. Number one, affirmation. Well, go back to the text and we'll see what happens in this father-son relationship. 1 Kings chapter number 2, verse 1. If you're there again, say amen. Now the days of David drew nigh that he should die, and charged. You see that? Charged. The Hebrew word, the root word for that word charge, has to do with a last will, a testament, a living will. David knew that he was dying, and he charged, look at this, Solomon his son, saying, verse 2, I go the way of all the earth, be thou strong therefore, and show thyself a man. Be thou strong therefore, underline that. Here's where I get that word affirmation. This is what the Spirit of God gave me, affirmation. Daddies, listen to me. Mamas, listen to me. Sons and daughters, listen to me. I don't believe there's a person here today that does not need some kind of affirmation, and especially when it comes to your earthly father. There's something about a daddy's role that is hard to be fulfilled anywhere else. Fathers, and in that role of affirmation, I mean affirming, David said to Solomon, be strong, be strong, be a man. Hey, brother, hey, sister, don't you agree with me? If ever there was a message today in God Bless America, it's be a man, men. Be a man. Stop being a wimp. Be a man. We're living in a day, I don't need to tell you, where men want to be women and women want to be men. I told y'all a couple of years ago, Dan and I went to the Cracker Barrel over in Madison. As we were going to the table to sit down, I stood there and the waiter/waitress came up to me, looked at me. I looked at them in the face, and I looked down, and listen, I could see whiskers. You know what I'm talking about? I could see whiskers, a few, anyway. I could see a few nubble stubbles on this person's chin, and this person had their hair pulled back in what do you call those things? You know, those nets they wear. And I look down, I'm standing face to face with this person who's waiting on us. And I look down at their name tag, you know what I saw? The name Jennifer. Now I'm looking at the whiskers and I'm looking at the name tag. I'm saying, wait a minute, this don't compute. And about that time, I've been being critical, I'm just telling you what happened. And about that time, I looked at that person and they said, can I help you? Now I'm not being critical, I'm telling you all the honest truth. And I just was absolutely confused. Jennifer, I'll tell you what I started to do. I started to say, hey, man, I want to talk with you right out here in the lobby just for a minute. Your name isn't Jennifer. Your name is Jimmy. Change your name back where it was. I know that might not be a big thing to you, but I'm telling you, and evidently, and God helped me sometime to be able to talk with Jennifer. You see, there's an identity crisis there. Can I get somebody to say amen? And that's what's happening today. And men ought to be men, and women ought to be women. David saying to his son Solomon, be strong and be a man. Be a man. Be a man. Now, just because you're a man doesn't mean you don't show emotions. In fact, I think real men really do learn how to let their emotions not control them, praise God. But we don't have to be so macho, but praise the Lord. We can be pliable and humble and contrite before God. See, Solomon, number one, wanted to affirm. Well, David wanted to affirm Solomon. Question, daddies, look up here. Are you affirming? Am I affirming to your children? You say, but they don't do what I want them to do. I didn't ask you that. Affirmation. You say, but they're grown now. It doesn't matter how grown they are. There's nothing like hearing a word of affirmation from your daddy. Y'all know what I'm talking about. Some of you might be silent. I know the Spirit of God's working today. Affirmation, number one. But notice number two, communication. It's important for us daddies to learn to communicate. I know that's difficult when you live in a busy world and a fast-paced world, and we're going here and there, but communication is important. Look what happened in verse number one. Now the days of David drew nigh that he should die, and he charged Solomon, his son.
he charged him. That is, he talked with him. Hey, communication, conversation. Do you take time to spend time to talk with your children? I know it's busy. I'm busy. We're all busy. But that thing, you say, but they don't want to talk to me. Can I make a suggestion? Write them a letter. If they don't want to talk with you, or if they're too busy to talk with you, write them a letter. Pick up the phone. Send them a text message. Communication. I know that sometimes this thing is sometimes hard to do. One, affirmation. Two, communication. And speaking of communication about a will, you see, David was telling Solomon. David was buried in Jerusalem. Abraham was buried over in the cave of Machpelah, that is, in Hebron, along with Sarah and his family. David was buried in Jerusalem. We stood there right there at a building, and the guide pointed out that's David's building. I'm not sure if that's where he was buried or not, but I just remember him saying, and I took a picture of it, and off we went. But communication, number three, not only affirmation, communication, but number three, dads, what can we learn today? What can we apply today? Where do we need to begin to let the Spirit of God make us dads who make a difference? Faithful fathers, number three, is in this area, and it is preparation. Do you notice what David said to Solomon? The Bible says he's ready to die. He's ready to die. I tell you, there's nothing more that seems to thrill my heart than seeing, and lately, this week has been a reminder of that. Daddies, don't wait till it's too late. Don't wait till you don't have time. Go ahead and pass down that lasting legacy to them children. Go ahead and tell them, hey, this is what I believe God wants to do in your life. And this is, and speak into their life. And not only that, but if you've got a will, and I challenge and encourage all of us here today, if you don't have a will, do one, make one, do it now. It's important. We're not promised of tomorrow. And David, 70 years old, the psalmist said 70 were all the years that God had designated for us. 70, 70 years. Many of us, some of us in the house of God today have surpassed the 70 years old. Fact is, we're all on borrowed time, amen. I like what that old saying goes, live like you're dying. Live like you're dying. Guess what? I know that might be a morbid thought, but it's the honest truth. We are dying. We're dying, but hallelujah, the outer man's perishing, but the inner man's being renewed day by day. Dads, you got a will? Hey, dads, have you all instructed your children somewhat? Your wife, your spouses, those executors of what your desires, what your wishes are. Why are you saying this, Pastor? Why are you preaching on this? Because I'm with a lot of families after someone's taken to heaven. And I see what happens in the family. Often it's chaos. Often it's arguing. Often it's fighting and fussing over this and that. Why? Because there's not clear instructions as to the desires, the wishes of that loved one. It'll do you good to stop and think. Just like our dear sister, Sister Joyce Cooper. What a blessing. She had her house in order. Can I get somebody to say amen? What a testimony to you and me. She had her house in order. She had everything that she wanted to do. And Russell Bennett, the executor, told me, he said it was simple, it was easy. All we had to do was follow what she's already had written down. Now, how did Joyce know that she was going to die? Because we're all going to die. But praise the Lord, she was ready. Listen, the Word of God says in the book of Ecclesiastes, the untimely death of a man is not a good thing. And I'm paraphrasing. So, preparation. Hey, let me ask you a question, dads. What would you say to a dad? This week, I stood at a funeral service where a casket is right in front of me. A 13-year-old boy. By the way, Monday, the day of his funeral, was his birthday. 14 years old. And they had motorcycle boots strapped over to him. He was killed right back here behind the church in less than a mile on a motorcycle. He'd been in church sitting right over there a few months ago with his mama. Little did I know that he'd be taken out into eternity. Little did anybody know. Little does anybody know what's going to happen tomorrow We're not promised of tomorrow. I remember telling him when he sat there, I said, "You sure?" I said, "How old are you?" And they said, 12 years old. And he 13 years old. And I said, "Man," and somebody spoke up and said, "He's small for that age." And I remember looking at him. I don't know why. It was a busy time from first service to Sunday school to second service. And I looked at him. I said, "You know what, young man? I hadn't met him that I know of." I said, "Dynamite comes in small packages." I'll never forget saying that to him. Why I said that, I don't know. But when he left, I said to him again, "Remember, dynamite comes in small packages." It might help you to know that I was small in school too. Amen. Anyway, whatever the case, what do you say to a daddy that's sitting on the front row looking at his 14-year-old son who now is gone? What do you say? What do you do? Oh, he had not planned it, and I had not planned it, and that's why I needed prayer, and God blessed. And oh my, the situation, what do you do? What do you do? What do you say to a daddy? Y'all hear me today? What do you say to a daddy that's been driving a vehicle that has hit this young man, and this accident occurred, and the young man is killed? I stood there and looked at the daddy who was driving the vehicle this week. What do you say to a daddy that's just had a terrible thing that happened? Well, by the way, it could happen to any of us. What do you say? What do you say to a man on Thursday? I went to his home, 84 years old, John. He played the guitar at the Muse, now called Senior Solutions. What do you say? He's got bone cancer. He just found out a couple of months ago, and he knows he's running his race, and his life is galloping away from him. What do you say to a man? I said what I want to tell you today. The best is yet to come. He's a Christian. Hallelujah. And so I'm saying this, prepare to meet thy God. Daddies, granddaddies, let's make a difference while we've got time. And some of us today need to get to an old-fashioned altar, need to cry out to God for our families, for our children and our grandchildren. And that leads me to point number two. Number two is this, not only what needs we have from a father, but number two, what needs fathers have. What needs fathers have? And they're threefold. Number one, watch this, daddy, see if you agree with me. Every father here today wants to be appreciated. Appreciation's number one. And not only appreciation, but confirmation. Confirmation number two. That's what I'm trying to do today to you dads. Confirm you. I love you. I'm one of you. I know it's not easy. But then number three, not only appreciation and confirmation, but number three, direction. All of us daddies and daddies-to-be need direction from God. Amen? Every one of us daddies need direction. I don't know about y'all, but I need direction. God, I don't know what to do. I'm not sure exactly. I need the Holy Spirit of God to direct me what to say, what to do, to live before them, to love them, and then to let them go and learn as I follow you. Well, last, number one, appreciation. I see some daddies right here today that are mad. I see some daddies right here today are mad. They're angry. I told you I spent some time yesterday with a granddaddy. He said, "Man, I'm angry. I'm mad." And there's some daddies right here that are mad. And you know you're mad. Why? You don't say it, and you don't necessarily show it, but you know what happens? You know what happens when a daddy and you spend all that time with the children? You say, "Man, I work like a dog. I go to work with I wake up with the roosters. I go to bed with the owls, and I work like a dog all day long, and I'm never appreciated." And there's some dads right here in this house today who've been frustrated, and you're a little bit aggravated and irritated because our children may not appreciate us like we think they ought to. Y'all don't have to say amen, but I know it's hitting home. And speaking of working like a dog, we ought to say not working like a dog. I look outside, that little old miniature red Doberman, she sleeps half the day working nothing, amen. We ought to say work like a horse, not a dog. But anyway, I guess if Red could talk, she'd say, "You try to have 5 litters of pups and have them hanging on you, getting milk out of you and hanging on your ear, and you'll see what work is," all right? I don't know about that, but I know this. There's some daddies here today. You're angry. You're frustrated. You're irritated. You don't know what to do. And it just would help you a little bit if somebody said, hey, I appreciate you. You know who you are. You know the Spirit of God's already said, yeah, you know you're frustrated. You know you're aggravated. You've been angry. And I tell you, dads, when we get in that state, you know what we got to do? We got to get with God real quick or our attitude will get real bad. Come on, somebody talk to me. Our attitude will start getting negative. We'll get negative about our children, negative about our job, negative about this, negative about that. How do I know? Because I'm there too. I have to battle that as well. Oh, daddies, we need God to pull us through. Oh, daddies, we need God to help us because we labor, we sacrifice, we work, we provide, we go, and we want what's best. And then when all's said and done, sometimes we're not appreciated. We're not appreciated. Some of you are right there now. I love you, but I'm there with you as we say praise God. Number one, appreciated. Number two, confirmation. Appreciation. Tell me, look at me, young people. Have you told your daddy you appreciate him? Look at me, young people. Have you told your daddy you appreciate him? How many of your daddy is still alive? Let me see your hand. How many are going to make it a point today to go? And how many got somebody that's a father figure in your life that you know that's been much like a daddy to you? How many today are going to make it a point to spend some time to let that person know, whoever it is, your daddy or your stepfather or your father-in-law or your grandfather or somebody in the church? Are you going to purpose in your heart to tell them what they mean to you? Thank you for what you do. Thank you for pouring into me. Thank you for loving me. Hey, we go through life and if we're not careful, we don't seize the opportunity. Number one, confirmation. Appreciation, confirmation. Number three, direction. David. Now, I want you to take your Bibles, those of you that are having a hard time staying awake, take your Bibles and turn with me, please, to chapter number 2. And look over here in chapter 2. Skip down, please, to verse number 44. I want you to see what Solomon said to David about his daddy. You talk about appreciation. 1 Kings chapter 2. Look with me, please, in verse number 44. Because you need to know what happened. David is giving instruction to his son Solomon. Be a man. Be strong. And you see, sometimes our children hear, they see what we're doing more than they hear what we're saying. And notice what Solomon did, verse 44. The king said, moreover, to Shimei, this is a man that cursed David, and God spared him miraculously. And then David said, Shimei, Solomon instructed him to stay at a certain place, but he said, if you leave that certain place, your history, in other words, you're out. Shimei didn't listen. He went anyway. And Solomon had instructions to go ahead and take him out. But look, here in verse number 14, the king said, moreover to Shimei, thou knowest all the wickedness which thine heart is privily to that which didest to David my father. Here Solomon told about his daddy. Therefore, the Lord shall return thy wickedness upon thine own head. And King Solomon said, be blessed, and the throne of David shall be established before the Lord forever. Now, here's what I want you to remember. Solomon carried out his instructions of his father. You know what he did? Here is old Joab. Here is old Abiathar. And you know what David said about Joab? Now listen to me. Now I know this isn't one of those, but we need to know what the word says. Amen. You need to know what 1 Kings says. You need to know how to respond. I need to see there's some practical application from this particular passage. It's not just talking words, but listen to what David said about Joab. You know, Joab was a man who was the commander of David's armies, a mighty man indeed. But you remember what Joab did? You remember Abner, who was Saul's right-hand man? How many remember that? One or two of you? Y'all remember Abner? Anybody remember Abner? Let's go through a little Bible. So that's what we're here for church for, right? Right? We're not just to be entertained. Hello. We're here to get in the Word. We're here to grow in grace and knowledge. And then we're here to say, Lord, show me what you want me to learn from all of this. Abner was Saul's right-hand man. Abner was a commander. Remember, the brother of Joab named Asael was running beside Joab and Abner, rather. And Abner told him to turn around, but he didn't do it. And so Abner killed him right there on the spot. Joab said, Abner's going to die. He killed my brother Asael. Now he's going to die. Well, it just so happened some things happened. And Abner, the right-hand man of Saul, once Saul was done away with, he began to leave the ranks and said he was going to be joining David in his army. David began to affirm Abner. And Joab had vengeance in his heart, had vindictive in his spirit, and wanted to kill Abner. And so he did. He killed Abner, and David said, called him a prince of a man. Joab wanted to take things in his own hands. Now you can look at this several different ways, but God said, David said about Joab, now he's siding with the other man, Solomon's half-brother, Adonijah. Let's say that name together. Adonijah. So Joab sided with him. And that wasn't the will of God. David said, no, Solomon's to be the king. So God could see that Joab's heart was turned away from what God's purpose was. Bottom line is this. Solomon said to his main man, military man, what was his name? What was his name? Help me out. What was his name? Come on, y'all talk to me. What was Solomon's main man, military man now? What? Benaiah. Let's say it together. Benaiah. Solomon said, take him out. Joab got held to the horns of the altar. And old Benaiah, who's a bad dude, one of David's mighty men, Bible says he fell on him. That means he killed him. Then you know what? Adonijah. You know what he tried to do? Adonijah, Solomon's half-brother, the one that wanted to be king. You know what he tried to do? He goes to Bathsheba and he says to Bathsheba, he says, hey, I'd like to have that little old virgin girl, that Shunammite woman, you know, that concubine of David, Abishag. Let's say it together. Abishag. And so he goes and talks with Bathsheba, the mama of Solomon. Go tell Solomon, I'd like to have that little virgin nurse that David had, Abishag. I want her for myself. Solomon could see right through it. Bathsheba went and told Solomon. He could see right through it. Adonijah had a rebel heart. You know what Solomon said to his main man? What was his main man's name? What was Solomon's main man? Hit man? What was his name? All right, good. You're learning. You learned something this morning, didn't you? Solomon's got a main man. He said, go take care of him. Adonijah's in the temple thinking that that's going to spare him. It didn't spare him. God knows where we're at, every point where we're at. And Benaiah fell on him and took him out. Abiathar, what did God do about him? The priest that sided with Adonijah. I'm telling you this, Solomon followed his daddy's instructions. You see the point? And he rejected Abiathar, as some pronounce it, even though he carried the ark with David, and got another priest. And you see it right here that Solomon is willing to follow the needs of a father, appreciation, confirmation, and then direction. You know what the Bible says? Let me throw this out and I'll be done in just a few minutes. Daddy's write this verse down. You need to learn this. Mamas need to learn it too. Daddy's write this. Every man write this verse down. Ephesians chapter 6, verse 4. Ephesians chapter 6, verse 4. Paul, I want to go to the New Testament for a moment. Paul says, fathers, and the word is patera, which can reference to parents, but however he's addressing fathers here. Fathers, provoke not your children to wrath, but bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. Provoke them not to wrath. What does that word mean? Paragizmos is the word wrath. It means seething hostility. Listen, dads, we can make some major mistakes and not even realize it. Well, I'm providing for my family. I go to work. I bring a check home. So isn't that enough? No, we're to lead our families as providers, protectors, priests in the home. And the spiritual leaders. I'll tell you, if there was a time that God is looking for some men to step up to the plate and be spiritual leaders, not wimps. I'm not just talking about coming to church and doing God lip service. I'm talking about living a godly life, pouring into your children, praying with them, praying for them, reading them the scripture, teaching them as the word of God says. I know that's not easy, particularly when they get older. But listen, your influence is still there. You can still make a difference in their life. Provoke them not to wrath. But wait a minute. Bring them up. Two sides. In the nurture, I'm repeating Ephesians 6:4, okay? If you want to make a reference for it, look at it later. Bring them up how? In the nurture and admonition of the Lord. Well, if God's word says something about me as a dad, I want to know about it. Don't you want to know about it? You think you can raise children according to Dr. Spock? You think you can raise children according to Hollywood? No, sir. No, ma'am. I don't care what the sports stars say. I don't care what these millionaires are telling us about families and all the stuff they're doing. I want to know what God says about it. God knows how to raise a family a lot better than Hollywood does. Hello? We got to get back to the Bible. That's our problem. We've depended on the culture to help us, to influence us to raise children. I know it's an uphill struggle, like I'm sensing even right now. But anyway, going back to what we're saying, bring them up in the nurture. What is nurture? The word nurture is a word, instructions, the training of the Lord. Well, I bring them to church. Well, what about at home when you're watching filthy stuff on television? That just undoes everything at church. Cussing and ranting and raving, and they're sitting there watching, and daddy's laughing at it, and you know, cigarette in your hand, all that stuff. I love you, daddies, but I'm telling you, if we're not careful, we can undo what we try to do when we bring them to church if we're not living what we say we believe. And if other things are more important to us than the Lord, they can see it. They can see right through it. They can see we're hypocrites. We're play acting. Sunday we like a certain way. Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, we act another way. Children are smart. They're perceptive. They can see things that so often we can't. And often I've made mistakes, and we got to be honest and say, God, maybe there's some things in my life that you need to change and I need to change. And maybe today God is showing you you've developed a bad attitude like I do so often. Bring them up in the nurture and then admonition. Nouthetics is where we get word admonition. It means warning. The directions of the Lord. Then I want to close because I know some of you are really tired. I can tell by looking at your face, and I appreciate you being here today. Last but not least, when not only what the needs we have in a father, affirmation and conversation or communication, as well as preparation, but then secondly, do you know a father that you can show appreciation? Can you show a father not only that thing of appreciation, but confirmation? Listen, men, I talked with a man yesterday. He told me this. He said, I hadn't been in church. I know I hadn't been living right. This man's 68 years old. I sat right back here and talked with him. He said, I know I'm not doing right. He said, I was raised in church. I went to church. I had to go to church. I was made to go to church. He said, but that's still no excuse. When I got old enough, I decided I was going to do my thing. And he said, now, all of a sudden, at the age of 68 years old, I look back and see I've messed up. I look back and see I've not really been leading my family, my children, my grandchildren. And he said, as his voice cracked, he wasn't bragging about it. He's saying, I need a new start. He said, Pastor, is it too late to start at 68 years old? I said, hallelujah, it's not. You can start right now. And so some of us dads, you feel like you're a failure. You feel like, man, I've blown it. God's able to restore the years the locusts have eaten. I'm glad he is. Last but not least, when these needs are met in our Heavenly Father, three special needs, and I'll be done. Number one, adoption. Number two, correction. And number three, reconciliation. Number one, adoption. Aren't you glad we're adopted in the family of God?
Over there in Galatians chapter 4, Paul said, in the fullness of time, God sent forth his son. You just need to know that in the church of Galatia, they were having problems with legalism. The Jews were saying to the Gentiles, y'all got to be circumcised. Y'all got to keep all these laws. Paul's writing saying, hey, we're justified by faith alone, by grace alone, then Christ alone. We're not saved by all these legalistic measures, nor do we live the Christian life that way. Therefore, being set free in the liberty wherein Christ has set us free. But he says over there in Galatians chapter 4, he's talking about us being adopted in the family of God. He says, in the fullness of time, God sent forth a son born of a virgin, born of a woman. And then he says in verse 5, that we might receive the adoption as sons. Did you know in the Jewish culture, namely in the culture at the age of 1 to 6, you had a nanny. But from the age of 6 to 15, you had a guardian. But after 15, you were a fully responsible. You had all the rights of a son or a daughter. You became a responsible individual at that time. I'm saying this. We're adopting the family of God. What my earthly father cannot do, praise God, my heavenly father can do. And if I'm expecting my earthly father to meet all my needs, can y'all hear me today? There's some of you today that you are still sore and still maybe angry or bitter over some things you've gone through in your life, and you said it's just not fair and God's just not fair. Well, listen to me. God says, I'll be a father to you, and you'll be my sons and you'll be my daughters. And what we will not receive from our earthly father, I'm glad to tell you, our heavenly father will love you. Our heavenly father will accept you. Our heavenly father will adopt you in his family. And praise God, he seals us with the Holy Spirit until the day of redemption. Some of us today need to stop looking for people to try to meet all our needs and start looking to our heavenly father. Thank God he won't fail us. Amen and amen and amen. Adoption. Secondly, correction. How many know that when you're growing up, your daddy didn't spare the rod? Let me see your hand. Spare the rod, spoil the child. The Bible says, I don't care what Dr. Spock says, Proverbs 22:15, foolishness is inbound in the heart of a child. The rod will drive it far from it. I can tell you this, you can take that any way you want to. I'm not talking about discipline and anger and abuse. I'm not talking about it at all. I'm just talking about the board of education, yea, the belt of education to the seat of understanding. My daddy didn't believe in sparing that old rod, and I don't believe in it either. I don't care what they say, White House or anywhere else. God knows what's best. Matter of fact, you know these baseball players, man, they can whirl that baseball 100 miles an hour. Some good ones can. My dad could whirl a belt about 100 miles an hour, amen. I remember my dad get a hold of me, buddy, he'd grab me, and all he had to do is look at me, and I knew I was in trouble. You say, but your dad's not that big. Dynamite comes in small packages. I want you to know he was an athletic, a coach, and all of that. Bottom line is he'd grab me by the hand. He'd get that old belt out. How many remember those days? My dad would start wearing my hind end out. How many know that the further you ran away from him, the more the blunt you took? It was just better if you just get as close as you can. When they're trying to spank you, thank God that you can't quite get the leverage they can. I'm telling you this, whom the Lord loves, he chastens. He disciplines every son. Sometimes God has to discipline us because he loves us. I'm glad that he loves us. Oh, bless his holy name. And there might just be some of us today that are being corrected by the Lord, but thank God we can draw near to God. He's our father. He loves us. And when I get out of line, I know him. I'm his child because he lovingly chastises those he loves. Granddads and grandmas and dads and moms, reconcile. Tell me today, wanted fathers, faithful fathers, dads who make a difference. I'm looking at some dads, I love you, and I'm encouraging, I'm challenging you. Have you got your house in order? Are you pouring in? Are you train up a child in the way they should go? And when they're old, they're not depart from it. Train up a child. Proverbs 22:6. Bend them, subdue them, conquer them without ruining that spirit. Break that hard, stubborn will. We're all sinners. And you say, but I can't live my life for them. I know you can't. And all you can do is the best you can with the help of the Lord. But don't give up on God and keep on pouring into them. Keep on serving God. Keep on having a sweet attitude. I want you to know it ain't over till it's over. I've been at times at the funeral home and beyond when the daddy and the mama and the granddaddy never did see their prayers answered. But I want you to know we serve a God in heaven that answers prayer according to his will, and his will be done. And you can rest assured, sometimes we don't always see it, but God is faithful to honor His word. And today, as we stand to our feet, tell me today.